The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the Survivor cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. This is part two, in which we take a look at the rest of the level zero cards. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a plus one, zero, or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with part two of our look at the cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. We are taking a look at the Survivor cards. We're starting off with Dig Deep. It is a two-cost asset with a willpower and agility skill icon, the talent trait. As a free triggered ability, you may spend one resource, you get plus one willpower for this skill test, or you may, as a free triggered ability, spend one resource, you get plus one agility for this skill test. I think of the talents in the revised core, this is the one that I have actually played the least.
I can see why, because Wendy's good at both of those stats that it boosts. I can see why someone wouldn't play it very much.
It does seem decent in Agnes, though. Agnes is 3 agility, so you can pump that up once or twice to evade something.
I'm telling you.
She does like having more willpower for those instances where she needs to shrivel a high fight enemy or something like that. I think along the same lines as all the other talents, you're not going to play two of these in your deck. And I think in Wendy and in Agnes, it's fine.
I actually like this one of the five talents because it covers the two stats that tend to be associated with treacheries. And so those are ones that, you know, you can hit a point where it's like, I really need to succeed at this rotting remains here, or else I'm in big trouble. And then I also think Survivor especially, I think you can play a Survivor that doesn't spend a lot of resources on things. I mean, you've got Leather Coat for zero, you've got Baseball Bat for two, you've got Rabbit's Coat for one. You know, and if you keep your costs down, I think you can spare a lot of resources and throw them into Dig Deep, which, you know, it has both the defensive stats on it, and I like Dig Deep.
There are a couple of investigators, once you expand your card pool, that can take Dig Deep that might like it, including Preston Fairmont, who has very, very low stats. He has ones across the board, but he has the resources to commit to this thing if necessary to boost his willpower and his agility. And then there's also Finn Edwards, who can take Survivor cards if he wants to boost his woeful willpower and his already fantastic agility. There is a level 2 upgrade, which is free in the Return of the Knight of the Zealot, and a level 4 upgrade, which enters play with two resources that replenish themselves in the Lair of Dagon pack from the Innsmouth Conspiracy. How would you rate this one?
I think I'm going to go along the same lines as all the other talents and give this a 0. I think this is serviceable. I do think, however, that this one gets better as you expand your card pool, because like Manastrophic said, a lot of the survivors don't have a ton of ways of boosting their willpower, and this is a pretty good option because survivors tend to be pretty low to the ground when it comes to their resource curve. Like you were saying, Baseball Bat costs 2, Rabbit's Foot costs 1. You have the resources to spare a lot of the time, and Dig Deep can get you out of those holes, which can be pretty critical.
Also, one thing that's a side note worth mentioning for when you expand your card pool is Survivor has some support for a decks that you want to run low on resources, so having any way to spend your resources is pretty good. But that's beyond the scope of the revised core. So I like this one. I put this one up there with physical training. I give this one a zero as well.
I'm going to add my zero to the pile. I think this one is actually a card that I would probably play more of now than I have in the past. There are certain investigators, I think, who can really get a lot of value out of this. Didn't play it much in Wendy because she's already pretty good at both of those things, but there are investigators that could certainly use the willpower and have the resources to plug into this thing that if they do need to pass a willpower skill test, that it can come in handy. As the card pool expands and you get a lot of most of the treacheries in that you're going to encounter in campaigns either test willpower or agility at this point. So if you're looking for a way to protect yourself from the encounter deck, you can't really go wrong by throwing a copy of this in your deck. The next card is Cunning Distraction. It is a 5-cost event with a willpower and wild skill icon tactic trait. It has the game text evade, automatically evade all enemies at your location. I think most people know this card from the fantastic art of the baboon-like creatures feasting on the turkey. I don't think I've ever played this card though, because of that 5-cost.
Does have two skill icons,
It does.
two good skill icons, which is its saving
Yes.
grace, because this is basically guts three and or four in a deck, and that's not
Oh,
bad.
okay. That's true.
There may be a circumstance, maybe especially in scenario three, perhaps, where evading all enemies at a location can be really clutch. So I see why this card is in here.
I think, yeah, five is really expensive. Those two icons are really good. They're very good. I like how they're willpower icons. So it's like if your game is going such that you don't need to evade, well, those willpower icons are going to be helpful because you're playing Arkham Horror the card game. You're going to be making willpower tests. So this is pretty good for zero XP in that regard. I think the thing about Cunning Distraction is that if you're playing a style where you evade a lot, getting swarmed is bad. This happens a lot in solo play. If you get swarmed by the encounter deck, it could just be game over. So though it's really expensive, this can just bail you out. It can also bail out the whole team because it automatically evades all enemies, including elite enemies, at your location. So it's got a use. It is very expensive. You're probably only going to play this when things have gone very wrong. But if things are going okay, you've got the two icons to really lean on. I kind of like this card for that regard. In that
Yeah,
regard.
the icons are very attractive, and I do think that this is, if you are having trouble with scenario three in the core set, you really should be looking at a card like this, because this almost solves that the problem that you will encounter almost single-handedly. As long as you have the resources to play it, you can overcome a big hurdle in that particular scenario. And there are certain other scenarios in the game where you're going to encounter a lot more enemies, especially if you're playing something like the Dream Eaters, where you can end up getting swarmed by a lot of enemies at once. This thing can solve that problem, but I tend to consider this more of a multiplayer card than certainly solo, because I find that I just don't encounter enough enemies to really need to evade a whole bunch of them. For me, it's often the cost is the biggest issue. How would you rate this one?
If we had a rating for silver bullet cards, this would 100% get that rating from me. It's basically just a problem solver card, for very specific situations. And it does have two willpower skill icons, which is really quite nice as well. I guess I'd give it a zero. It's not an elder thing. It's definitely much better than an elder thing, but it's not a plus one because it's expensive and you're not going to use it all the time. So yeah, I think a zero is a good rating for it.
I feel the same way. This does feel like a silver bullet. If you're playing a playstyle where swarming is a problem, or if you find yourself when playing Arkham Horror that getting swarmed by enemies causes you to lose the game, this will bail you out. That's pretty nice, even though it's expensive. But then again, it's Survivor. You can afford to run light on your resource expenditures, so you might be able to afford this thing.
And much like the stray cat that we looked at earlier, this does evade all enemies at your location. So you don't necessarily need to be engaged with them, which can really save your butt if you end up in a situation where the guardian just has too much on his plate to deal with, you can swoop in and say, okay, well, let's just evade all these things and move on. And then there might be a couple hunters in the group that will follow you at some point, but at least you've gotten your team out of the bad situation and you can move on to another location and sort of reset the board and say, okay, now we may have to deal with a couple hunters, but we can at least deal with those without having to deal with all the other riffraff that we got caught up in. I agree that this one is probably a zero. It's not a card it's certainly not an elder thing or a plus one. It sits comfortably in the middle of one of those cards that if you are playing a campaign and you're having problems with enemies, and this might be the answer that you're looking for. And it does what it does very well, like exhausting all enemies at your location really is clutch, especially without requiring a skill test. So if you're interested in dipping your toe into hard or expert after you've gotten more comfortable with the game, cards that don't require skill tests are gold in those levels of difficulty. So this one's value goes up a little bit in those formats. That is going to bring us to our two iconic survivor cards, the first of which is Look What I Found, 2-cost event with 2 intellect skill icons, the fortune trait. Fast, play after you fail a skill test by 2 or less while investigating. Discover 2 clues at your location. I can't think of many survivor decks that don't include 2 copies of this, because the ability to grab 2 clues despite failing a skill test is so good. And the 2 intellect skill icons, in case you don't need to get the clues, are just icing on the cake.
Yeah, this card's a staple, without question. I don't really know what else to say about it. It's just really good.
It's really good. I don't think it's perfect, because it can be difficult to arrange a situation where you need to discover 2 clues and not just 1, and you fail, and the shroud is decent, where it's like you feel good paying 2 for this. So it's not perfect, but I think it's very good. It's very survivory, and the art is really strange, I gotta say. Like, this guy crashed his car into a tree, and I guess he found, like, a vampire sleeping in the tree or something. I'm not sure what to make of that art.
I think it's supposed to be a Cthulhu statue.
Oh.
I think you can, like, see the squid head on the top. But,
oh, that's what that is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It is a little tricky to set up, but I think you have to just not be greedy with this card.
Yeah.
I think that's the big key. Is if you're at a location and you fail a skill test and there's 2 clues on that location, just play it. Just grab them.
Yeah.
You know, don't waste time trying to, like, finagle a situation where you fail, like, by 2 at a 4 or 5 shroud location and then play this. Like, just play it.
Just play it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's often the thing I find, is that you sort of end up at a location and you're trying to fail the skill test and you... but then end up passing despite all your best efforts to fail it, or you fail it by a little too much. But generally speaking, if you're at a location where you can play this, you can probably manage to get it done, especially since survivors do tend to have slightly, you know, average to below average intellect. So it's not too hard for them to play this. And even in a lot of off-class survivors that can take this card, they don't necessarily have great intellect, so it's not too hard to fail a skill test by 2 or less to discover 2 clues. There is a level 2 upgrade in the Stella Clark starter deck that lets you discover, I believe it is 3 clues if you, or is it 2 clues if you fail by 3 or less at your location or connecting locations, I believe. So it's gives you a little bit more versatility. How would you rate this one?
Elder Sign. I mean, it's just so ubiquitous. I just find myself playing it pretty much in every survivor deck, especially in 2-player, when getting clues is so critical in that format. 2-player is interesting in that regard, because it's like you basically build a solo deck, but then you need just that much more clue getting, and Look What I Found is huge in that format.
But you know, because one thing we've been doing wrong is we haven't referred to it by its true name, which is "Look what I found!" exclamation point. Yeah, and I think this card's super strong to the point where I'm going to give it a plus one exclamation point, which rounds it up to Elder Sign.
Yeah, I think I would feel pretty badly if I gave this anything less than an Elder Sign, considering just how much I play this card, and pretty much any investigator who can take it. Even in solo, there aren't that many locations that have two clues on them to discover, but if you run into one of those high shroud locations that even has one clue, I'll often consider this as the solution to that, because if you just want to keep your tempo up and keep on moving, you know you're going to fail a skill test there and then play this and discover the clue and just be able to keep on moving without having to wait. So yeah, this one is an Elder Sign. And I think we can give the next card in the box an Elder Sign as well without too much difficulty. This is Lucky, one cost event, fortune trait, fast play. When you would fail a skill test, you get plus two to your skill value for this test. This card has bailed so many players out so many times that really this one should be in the Arkham Horror Hall of Fame if the game had such a thing.
mean, they've made multiple editions of this card for fans. They did that really cool extended art version of Lucky. They've done alternate art versions. There's an upgraded version. There's a level 2 and a level 3 version. Am I
There
correct in
That's
that?
right. That's right.
The only criticism I have of this card is why isn't there like 12 of them in the box?
Well, it costs the same as knife, so you could just take a Sharpie and write "lucky" exclamation point, and then you're all set. Yeah, this card's great. Like, if you squint hard enough, it reads like, "I can take tests at one at like one over, you know, the target, and feel confident about passing," or you can take tests at two over and then be okay when you inevitably draw that minus four, like. It
Or you
saves you
can,
from having to commit icons. Like, it's so good.
yeah, you can take tests at, even difficulty, and then if you happen to pass, that's great. And if you don't, you can lucky. That's like
Exactly.
that level of consistency is like unparalleled, I think, in the game, even to this day.
Yeah, I think the feeling of confidence that you have when you have this in your hand and you start taking skill tests. Man, there's no better feeling than having to take a bunch of skill tests and knowing that you've got lucky in your back pocket and you can just, you might need it, you might not, and even if you don't, there's probably going to be a skill test a little bit down the road that you're going to need this thing. Just so strong. And when it comes to survivors, like to recur cards. They get a few more recursion cards as the card pool expands, and this is often one of the choices that you're going to take back from your discard pile simply because it does so much work. The level 2 upgrade is in the revised core, and it lets you grab a card. You get to draw a card as well, so it's lucky that replaces itself, which is even better. And then I can't exactly remember what the level 3 upgrade does
It
in
lets you
stick.
help other investigators at your location.
There we go. So
And it costs zero, which is even better than one.
it's free and it lets you help other investigators. So yeah. And if you happen to play the Skids O'Toole Parallel Investigator, you can play six copies of Lucky, which is if you
Which
thought
is
two
like
were good,
why you, which is great. That's why you play the parallel skids, because you want six luckies.
you can play six Lucky. So yeah, this one gets an Elder Sign from me without any hesitation.
Yeah, same. The other thing to note about Lucky is that when it's in your hand, you tend to be more willing to take risks, and like that can snowball exponentially more than you would think, because you take those tests at one over, you don't commit anything, you pass those tests, you're saving resources in your hand, you're saving resources on the board. Lucky is, oh my God, it's so good.
I mean, compare it to Grotesque Statue level 4 in the amount of like confidence you can have going into skill tests. Like, Lucky is that dang good. It's another sign, exclamation point.
That brings us to the final card that we're going to look at in this part. Survival Instinct, it's a skill with an agility skill icon and the innate trait. If this skill test is successful during an evasion attempt, the evading investigator may immediately disengage from each other enemy engaged with him or her and may move to a connecting location. We have talked a few times about silver bullets in this box for that third scenario, and this is one of them. It can definitely help you in that situation, but it's awfully nice if you're playing an evasion-based build and you do happen to get a few too many enemies to deal with. The ability to pick the one with the lowest evade value, evade that one, and then disengage from everything else, and then you get to move away as well, possibly generating a ton of action advantage with just one card, is pretty nice.
Yeah, and you can save fellow investigators. Like, say, like, Daisy gets stuck with something, she can commit, like, manual dexterity, and then you can commit this, and you can save her butt. And then, you know, if you're playing Wendy, you can probably just evade the enemy that disengages Daisy. And if you're playing Agnes, you probably could also evade the enemy, or you could just kill it with a shriveling or something. Survival Instinct is a silver bullet card, but man, oh man, is this card quite strong when you're able to trigger it.
Yeah, it's got some nuances too. Like, just even if you're only engaged with one thing, evading one thing and getting the free move might be pretty good. I really like this card, especially in like a solo environment, because it can save your butt. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you're stuck having to evade two enemies before you can start trying to fight your way out, like, that's really bad. That's how you can often lose in solo play, and Survival Instinct bails you out of that sticky situation. That being said, it's not universally strong because it only has one icon, and if you're not getting a benefit, either if you're not getting the move out of it, or if you're not getting the ability to bail yourself out of a swarm, then it's gonna fall a little flat. So if things are going well, it's not going to do that much for you, but if things are going badly, it's going to do a lot for you.
I mean, at worst, you know, like, it doesn't have a lot of icons, but at worst, it's basically evade and move.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is almost comparable to elusive, which we gave a pretty high rating to, so.
True. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah, this is really your answer to that third action evade, which always feels bad because you're evading the enemy, but you know you can't get away. So the enemy is going to re-engage with you pretty much immediately at the start of the upkeep phase. And then you're going to have to evade it again to try to get away from it, if that's your plan. This solves that issue. You play this, you evade and move away, and then you've at least got yourself some breathing space. Now, the biggest problem is, I think, with this card, is just that if you're disengaging from a bunch of enemies, that's great, but they aren't exhausted. So if you happen to leave somebody behind, those enemies will simply engage with that investigator and you've simply passed your problem on to somebody else. Or if you end up in the rare circumstance where you have a bunch of hunter enemies on you, you evade one hunter, but then that other hunter is simply going to chase you during the enemy phase. So unless you have another action to spare, say if you're evading on action two, you evade one hunter, move, then move again just to get away from that second hunter. But yeah, this can do a ton of work in the right circumstances. It is a little tricky to play sometimes, but yeah, I think if you are just evading and moving, that can really give you a nice boost, especially at the end of a scenario if you're racing toward an objective or something like that. You need to resign before the agenda advances, or there's a certain location you need to reach. Often there aren't that many effects that give you free moves, especially in the revised core, so having one like this is pretty nice. There is a level 2 upgrade available in the Undimensioned and Unseen Mythos pack as well. That is quite good. How would you rate this one?
I've actually used this card a fair bit for pretty much specifically that exact situation that Matastrophic laid out earlier in solo, where you try to, like, get rid of one enemy, and then you fail a couple skill tests, and then you get stuck with it, and you draw another one, and then there's two enemies, and then you're just stuck at a location trying to evade things. This is a huge help in those circumstances. I also personally like evasion as a playstyle for most scenarios, so I tend to lean on that pretty heavily. So I like this card quite a bit. I'd give it a zero. I don't think it's very applicable in a lot of formats, like you were saying, Man from Lang. In four player, this can often just leave enemies to someone else and not really help the team as a whole. But in two player and one player, this card shines, I think, quite a bit.
Yeah, I'd also give it a zero. It's a fine card, but if you run out of space, you know, and you end up having to cut this, don't feel too bad.
Yeah, I often find that when I'm building decks, especially evasion based decks, this is often card 31 for me. I really like it, but I never seem to find the space for it. And I think in solo, especially, I think this is probably like the perfect maybe two-player card, because in solo, you rarely end up engaged with multiple enemies where it's a problem. The enemy count starts to rise in two-player, and then it probably you end up with too many enemies when you get into three or four. So you'd have to sort of have everybody... There's a lot more management that has to go on before you can play this. You need sort of everybody to be on the same page and say, like, okay, I'm going to play this, so we need everybody to be either out of here or... Yeah, it's a little awkward. I think I'd also give it a zero. Yeah, I just haven't played this card enough. I really like it, but it just doesn't necessarily make the cut. And I don't think it's nearly as strong as some of the other... investigators get in the revised core. Certainly not as ubiquitous as Vicious Blow is, or Deduction, which I think are the two big ones. Of the five skills, I'd probably put this one ahead of Opportunist and maybe Fearless as well. But yeah, I think those three definitely see less play overall than the big two, being Vicious Blow and Deduction.
Yeah, I would also play Manual Dexterity, I think, in most cases, over Survival Instinct. So, yeah, it's also competing with that as well.
Yep.
That's going to do it for part two of our look at the Survivor cards. Some very iconic Survivor cards in this particular set. Look What I Found, and Lucky being ubiquitous to this day in Survivor decks 5 years on. There aren't that many Survivor decks out there that will not run at least two copies of each. The other cards are a little bit more situational, but still they do have their uses. Any final
thoughts? I like how three of the five cards help you evade things. Well, three. Well, and then you have Lucky, so four cards can help you evade things. So, I think I'm starting to see a theme here.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter @manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.